Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Kings chapter 7. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said to one another, why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then said they one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all in the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us see. They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And all the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria, that the Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows of heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we are following on from the last chapter, and we need to remember that last section of the last chapter, when the king of Israel, Jehoram, son of Ahab, came to Elisha, and we put these words in his mouth, "Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Or what that means in common parlance is, "How much longer shall the Lord have us under this judgment?" Well, not much longer, apparently. In fact, because of the confession of sin of the king, Elisha then is prompted to offer this this one-day remedy. Here it comes, and it'll be here today. Instead of this famine, you're going to have regular pricing of an abundance of barley and an abundance of corn in the gate of Samaria. Not just going somewhere to find it, not having to travel. It'll be right here at your front gate where it always was. Of course, there was one guy that stood by, and he said, "If the Lord would open windows of heaven, that couldn't be." Well, so we must take a lesson not to doubt the word of the Lord. And that's what this passage is. It's a lesson not to doubt the Lord's word. In fact, this is repeated in order that it might be doubled in our hearing at the end of the chapter, so that we will hear, "Beloved, when the Lord promises to bless, let us receive the blessing and not doubt the Lord's goodness." Has the Lord promised to bless? He has. He hasn't promised to bless in a vacuum, right? He showed us the way to walk. He showed us what the way of blessing is. But if we are in the way of blessing, let us not believe that the Lord is holding a hammer over us instead, as we said earlier today. Well, this man didn't see it and couldn't believe it and never saw it because of his lack of faith. He was trampled in the gate, as the end of the passage tells us. So now we have the four lepers. There are a few little details that I want to mention to you because it'll be helpful to you. They went at twilight. Why did they go at twilight? Well, because they were lepers. They didn't want them to see that they were lepers. They would have shut them out right away. So they went at twilight into the camp of the Syrians, and they've got a trifold reasoning here. If we stay in the gate, we die. If we go into the city, we die. If we go to the Syrians, we either die or not. Which is the best of those three? Let's take the one where we either die or not. You know, that's their reasoning. It's good reasoning. There's nothing wrong with that kind of reasoning. And so, here we are in this famine, right? And being in this famine, then let us not think that by staying in the famine, let's not presume to think that the Lord is miraculously going to save us. Let's make use of the means that we have. Let's go out to the Syrians and see what they do to us. The worst they can do is kill us, which is what we're already facing. Well, beloved, sometimes this is the kind of reasoning that we have to do. Sometimes the reasoning is, you know, it's very real world. I remember speaking to my mother once, of all of your recent memory, or most of your recent memory, and she was wanting something to be so, and so she had worked herself into believing it was so because she wanted it that way. And of course, you know me, I wanted to disabuse her of that, and I walked her down to where it was obviously not so. And finally she said to me, "Well, I want it to be so." Well, that's how many of us are. That's how many of us reason. Because we want it to be so, we think it is so. They may have wanted to stay in the gate and survive. Okay, so we get that. They're reasoning very practically, very real world-ish. And so they go out to the Syrians. What they find is two empty tents in the first two. And then they find that the entire camp is empty. And then their conscience smites them. I'm glad their conscience struck at them, but I'm sad it took so long. They emptied out two tents first and made sure that they had everything that they wanted first. And finally they said to themselves, "We know we're not doing a good thing here. We ought not to hold our peace in a day of good tidings." Oh, there's really good news there, right? There's really good instruction there. We ought not to hold our peace in a day of good tidings. If we hold our peace, what would it be for? Well, it would be for keeping all of it to ourselves. But instead, they said, "It is a day of good tidings. let us share those good tidings with others that they may rejoice with us. Well, that's good divinity. That's good Christianity there. Okay. So they did. And of course, the king, although he has confessed his sin, you know, he was wearing the sackcloth and all of that, still has a guilty conscience. Oh, I know what's wrong here. I know what's going on. It only appears that they've left. They've went into the field and hid themselves. And as soon as we come out, they're going to descend on us and they're going to take the city. Well, once again, as we've seen often in 1 and 2 Kings, it's someone of an inferior station that has a superior wisdom. Right? So one of the servants says, let somebody take the some of the horses, let some take some of those horses and go out and see if everything is as it has been reported. And so they do, and they travel all the way to Jordan from Samaria. It's a little ways. And what do they find? They find garments and stuff strewn all over the way because the Syrians fled home with such haste. They thought that they were going to be attacked by the noise that God had raised. They surmised because they knew that the Lord had already intervened for them in the person of Elisha and Elijah. What did they assume? They assumed that the Lord was going to take vengeance on them. And so it was their guilty conscience that caused them to flee at a noise, at a sound. And isn't that one of the curses that God will present in his prophets, right? One shall chase a thousand. You'll hear a noise and away you go. That's right. So they go out and they take the spoil, and the chapter ends in that same way, which is what? That the man who doubted of God's word never got to see the blessing. Well, beloved, the Lord doesn't shed abroad his blessings on those who do not believe. The Lord has common mercies for all, but the special mercies that belong to his people, he doesn't just give those out indiscriminately. How many times in the ministry of Christ do we see, and he did not many miracles there because of their unbelief? Right? Well, that's what happened to this man here. He didn't taste of that grain. He died hungry, trampled by the people for doubting the word of the prophet, not believing in the Lord. With that then, let's continue praising God.